There's a battle in Congress over disaster relief funding. The Republican-backed bill was blocked by Democrats in the Senate yesterday. The sticking point, Puerto Rico. In 2017, the island was devastated by Hurricane Maria. The new bill would have reduced aid to the U.S. territory. Opponents say funding for the island has always been slow and more is still needed. And President Trump tweeted last night, writing the aid already sent to Puerto Rico has been, quote, wasted. Our next guest, Andrew Schrank, is a Brown University professor and a member of the CNE Growth Commission, a think tank on Puerto Rico. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So the fight right now in Congress is over this Republican disaster aid bill. They say there's only a limited pot of money and there needs to be wildfire funds for certain states and Midwestern flooding. Is all of this true? I mean, would that money be, in fact, used for that? And frankly, based on your opinion, would it make any sense to transfer those and reprioritize?
Well, I don't want to speak to the relative priorities. I think we need to fund disaster relief everywhere. We're a rich country, and I think we can afford it. And I think it's important to keep in mind something a lot of people on the mainland forget, which is that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, and they're no less entitled to this disaster relief than citizens of California, Arizona, the Midwest, et cetera. But I think it's also very important to keep in mind that this is potentially a positive-sum game. I mean, those farmers of the Midwest are in many cases selling their food in Puerto Rico, which is largely dependent upon food imports from the mainland. And so if Puerto Rico recovers, that generates great demand for Midwestern food.
So what's the situation like in Puerto Rico right now? Like, has it improved to the point where they maybe don't need the same kind of relief funding?
No, I think that's completely fictitious. Puerto Rico is in terrible shape. Years of austerity had bled the island dry before the storm hit, and they've clearly taken a toll on the island's ability to mount a viable recovery. So the aid from the mainland is absolutely essential.
So when you hear a tweet like President Trump's, and we know, or tweets and the series of tweets about how the money has been ill-spent so far, beyond the fact that it is rhetoric and it upsets people, what kind of message does that send? And can Congress stand up to him? Do you expect them to?
Well, I mean, it's a divisive message, and I think it's a deliberately divisive message. It's filled with exaggerations and, in many cases, outright lies. I mean, he's talking about $91 billion, but people on the island haven't even seen a fraction of that. I mean, there hasn't been a fraction of that that's actually been allocated and spent to date. So I think he's just not to be trusted when he's talking about the situation in Puerto Rico, and I think what he's trying to do is rally his base through a xenophobic message, which, you know, ironically is particularly vexatious because Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens.
So is there anything to the challenge, though, of getting these funds out when they get to Puerto Rico? Like, is there government corruption? Are there things that are making it difficult for the people to see the impact of that kind of funding?
Well, you know, this is the rhetoric that often comes out of the Trump administration and Republicans in Congress. Puerto Rico is like a lot of jurisdictions on the mainland in regard to waste and corruption. You know, Chicago, Miami, probably New York. It's not a failed state or anything like that. I mean, you'd see occasional scandals. There can be a lack of transparency in certain contracts. But for the most part, it's like a, you know, big city jurisdiction on the mainland. And I haven't seen any evidence that the recovery efforts in Puerto Rico have been any more wasteful or less efficient than similar efforts in mainland jurisdictions, whether it be New Orleans after Katrina or Florida after Irma. You know, they're probably not batting 1,000, but if a jurisdiction has to bat 1,000 on this, we'd never give recovery aid at all.
Has Puerto Rico consistently been disrespected, maybe not to this degree? Is there sort of a happier time we can go back to, something that when listeners hear about this, can they think, well, this is when Puerto Rico was the priority it should have been, as you say, as a U.S. territory equal to other U.S. citizens?
Well, I don't know if you would say it's ever been the priority that it should have been equal to U.S. citizens. There certainly was a happier time. I mean, in the aftermath of the Second World War, Puerto Rico was the fastest growing economy in the world and was looked upon as the model for what developing countries should aspire to in terms of governance, in terms of economic planning and priorities and things like that. And, you know, again, when President Trump says things like Puerto Rico's a disaster and it's always been a disaster, he's clearly, you know, blind, whether willfully or not, to that period. And, you know, almost implying that there's something cultural about Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans that impedes growth and development when, you know, clearly that's not the case because the culture and the language have always been the same, including in a period when it was the model for developing countries throughout the world.
So final quick question for you. If in fact this goes forward or if aid is cut to Puerto Rico, where else can they turn? What can they do to get funding from anywhere else?
Well, I mean, this is one of the problems. Puerto Rico is not a sovereign nation. They can't go to the World Bank. They can't go to development banks that exist in other parts of the world. And as a result, they really don't have much of an option to go to Washington. But I think it's very important to keep in mind when the Trump administration, you know, trumpets this message that there's been waste and fraud and things like that, that Washington itself, I think, is to blame for a lot of whatever mismanagement has occurred, you know, has occurred. FEMA doesn't exactly have the best track record in this regard, as witnessed by the resignation of the director. And Congress has imposed an enormous amount of red tape on Puerto Rico, both directly through the disaster funding mechanisms and indirectly through the imposition of a fiscal control board that imposes its own onerous rules. So we're effectively burying Puerto Rico in red tape and then complaining about the red tape. You know, I think Washington should look to Washington.
All right, we'll stop there. Andrew Schrank is a Brown University professor, member of the CNE Growth Commission. Professor, thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.